On January 27, 2004, Prime Minister Atal Bihari Vajpayee met President APJ Abdul Kalam. On the agenda was the government's unusual decision to dissolve the 13th Lok Sabha 6 months in advance. Vajpayee's term was to end in October 2004, but the Bharatiya Janata Party had swept the assembly elections in the Hindi heartland states of Chhattisgarh, Rajasthan and Madhya Pradesh. The party wanted to cash in on this momentum. So going by his advisors, Vajpayee decided to advance the Lok Sabha elections from October 2004 to April 2004. Now, the Election Commission of India could not have wrapped up the exercise in a month's time, so the elections spread to April and May. And this is why India holds its elections in the scorching summer months of April and May. As we begin the first phase of polling for the Lok Sabha elections 2024, we, at the Economic Times, will bring you reports from Ground Zero, interesting explainers and election gossip in this very special podcast, Polls on My Pod. It is Wednesday, the 17th of April. From the Economic Times, I'm your host Nidhi Sharma and you're listening to Polls on My Pod. This Friday, on April 19th, India will begin the seven-phase exercise of electing the 18th Lok Sabha. Yes, by far, this is the longest election the country will witness. Usually, the election exercise wraps up in six phases and a new government is sworn in by end of May. But this time, there'll be seven phases and the votes will be counted on June 4. The first phase on Friday will see the most number of Lok Sabha constituencies, about 102, across 21 states going for vote. In this two-part curtain raiser to the 2024 Lok Sabha elections, we will take you across some interesting states and bring the battleground to you. My colleagues Shantanu Nandan Sharma and Bikash Singh will bring you stories from the strife-torn Manipur. Diya Rekhi will get you the multi-cornered Tamil Nadu slugfest. Rakesh Mohan Chaturvedi will get us stories from the tribal belt of Madhya Pradesh. And I, Nidhi Sharma, will take you to colorful Rajasthan. This time, we decided to make good use of our producer Anirban Chaudhary, who helped me in recording some of the interviews and sat up well past midnight to make the recording deadline for this episode. We begin with the Northeast. Let me take you to Manipur, where Shantanu Nandan Sharma travelled and found how there is minimal enthusiasm for the elections. He uses the word muted campaign. It comes as a surprise as the state had witnessed 82.8% voter turnout in 2019, significantly surpassing the national average of 67%. Anirban gets you details from Shantanu.
Shantanu, the trigger for this conversation is your excellent, detailed, very sensitive story that you wrote on Manipur. And I'd like to start by asking you to recount the things that struck you most from that trip.
Yeah, so I was there for a week and I have gone there multiple times earlier. But this time is very different because for almost a year that the Kukis and the Maithis, that ethnic clashes started and it has been still continuing in some way. So I started in the valley and I realized that they are basically, you know, very upset, perturbed and very dismissive of the entire political class. Then I noticed is that there was no loudspeaker, there was no meeting, nothing. There's an organization called Arambai Tengol. It's a Maithi radical organization. And they have actually appealed the political parties not to use loudspeaker, that no money power should be used, and even no rally should be organized. So that's the reason I found that in the valley, the election or in the run-up to the election is completely muted. then I moved to the hills. So I interacted with some of the students, talked to them, talked to the villagers. I went to two villages. And the sense I got it is that they're very unhappy. And some of them may not even vote. And then finally, I went to the upper ridges of the hills. I went to a place called Ukhrul, where the Nagas, so far in this, so far as this conflict is concerned, the Nagas have remained neutral, but they are also very upset now in the sense that, you know, they are saying that we are also, even if we are neutral, we also get impacted. So overall, that's what is my observation. I found that even after 1 year, things on the ground doesn't look nice.
So Shantanu, there's a, even outside of these calls given by the revolutionary groups, etc., there is a general apathy towards the electoral process, right?
Yes, because the people are also very disgruntled. The Maitis who were in the hills, the places like Churachandpur or the Moray, so after the conflict, they had to come down and they are now in the refugee camps in the valley. Similarly, the Kukis who used to reside in the valley, they had to move towards the hills and they are in refugee camps in the hills. And that is the reasons why they are not looking at election per se in the sense that who wins, who loses. People are more worried about what happens after election.
Yeah, they're more worried about the aftermath of the elections than its outcome, is how you ended the article. Also wanted to ask you, Shantanu, I mean, this whole atmosphere of acute mistrust,
yeah,
to the extent that you can't travel a few kilometers without being checked. And this is aside of the elections also, the general sort of atmosphere in the region. Could you describe that a little?
So what's happening now is that the Maitis, they cannot go to the hills because the Manipur Valley is surrounded by hills. Suppose they want to go outside, even they want to go to Dimapur and take a train to come to Delhi, they cannot go because they have to pass through the Kuki areas. So they want to go to, say, to Moray, which is a border hub where the border trade takes place. They cannot go because it passes through the Kuki areas. And the reverse is also true, that Kukis cannot come down to the valley where all hospitals are located, the airport is located. So much so that I was really surprised that there are 10 Kuki MLAs and none of the MLAs actually, they come to reside in their own residences, in the sense that even in their quarter in Imphal, they cannot even come down to the airport and take a flight to Delhi. Rather, many of them are going to Mizoram. They are actually going to Mizoram, the Aizawl, from Churachandpur to Aizawl by road is over 12 hours. So they're going to another state to take a flight to Delhi. That kind of a situation.
Tell me what some of the people in the region told you.
They are worried that there should not be any disintegration of Manipur. But the Kukis have been asking for what is called Puducherry type of union territory status. They say that there should be a union territory with
like Puducherry. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like Puducherry.
And the fact that it's called the Valley of Death, you know, and when we're talking about movement, you also, you know, just in the matter of a few kilometers, I think the Kuki youths, they check your identity card and they exempt Meitei Pangals because they're Muslims. But if it's a Meitei, if it's a Manipuri Hindu, then the car is burnt, right? Is that the case there?
Yeah. One thing is true that even today, after 1 year, the free movement is not happening within the state, which is very, very unfortunate. What happened is that Kukis don't want Maitis to come to their place and Maitis don't want the Kukis to come down to the valleys.
Right.
There have been instances of cars being burnt.
Shantanu, you've covered conflicts before.
Yeah.
How is this one different?
So India has witnessed a lot of communal violence and also ethnic clashes. But what happens usually is that, you know, there's a communal conflict happens and after 2-3 months, both the Hindus and the Muslims, they go to the same bazaar and buy stuff, right? But unlike this, here, even after 1 year, they are not coming together. They're not in the same place. So that's frightening. It's scary.
Understood. Okay. Just coming to pure politics and data, tell me a little bit about the political parties, Shantanu, and what are they promising?
Manipur has two constituencies. One is Manipur Inner and Manipur Outer. In Manipur Inner is all Meitei candidates, obviously, because it's the Meiteis who dominate there. So the fight is mainly between the BJP and the Congress. So the BJP has put up a candidate who is the current education minister, Basant Singh. And in fact, he is from a political family. His father, Toba Singh, used to be a minister of state in Baspe's government in late 90s. In fact, I interviewed Baspe's government. I interviewed him at a time. So the Basant Singh is a strong candidate. And equally strong is the candidate from the Congress. So Congress, what happened, unlike in other states where the Congress's organization is very bad, say in UP, Congress doesn't have any organizational strength. In Manipur, still Congress has a very good, robust organizational strength. But they have decided not to put up a candidate from there. They have brought in one professor. He was a professor in JNU, Bimal, Professor Bimal. So he was brought in. He was apolitical. So he was brought in and they have placed him as a candidate there. So far as the inner constituency is concerned, it will be a fight between BJP and the Congress. And so far as the outer constituency is concerned, even if the Kukis comprise, say, around 35% of the total electorates in that constituency, but not even one Kuki candidate has filed their nomination. So that basically means that it will be a fight among the Nagas. You know, some civil society organizations and, you know, youth organizations, they have appealed that, you know, we will boycott this. Kukis should not file. So that's the reason not even a single independent Kuki candidate is also there. So only four candidates there. And the fight is mainly between the NPF, which is the Naga People's Front, which is an NDA alliance supported by the BJP. So the BJP hasn't put up a candidate. So the NPF has brought in one former revenue service officer. He was an income tax commissioner in Delhi. So he was brought in. And against him, there is a Congress candidate who is a former MLA there. And both happen to be Tangkhul Nagas. And all four candidates happen to be Nagas there. Both the other two independent candidates are also Nagas. So outer constituency is now a fight only among the Nagas. And the main contest will be between NPF versus Congress.
Understood. So, Bikash, our other colleague, is traveling Manipur right now. And he sent us some bites that he, you know, took from people. One is, of course, the apathy and the mistrust that you spoke about. But the only other word that is common is NRC and how infiltration of immigrants should be stopped and NRC should be expedited. That seems to be the only thrust. And of course, among other things, the BJP is playing that up quite a bit. Would you talk about that a little, or have I got it wrong?
Yeah. So far as the poll agenda is concerned, so far as Valley is concerned, both the Congress and the BJP are talking about the same thing. So far as it's about integration of Manipur's the geographical integrity. They should not be, the Kuki should not be allowed to have another administrative zone. So that's what is a major thrust. And along with that, BJP has been in talking about NRC in the same way it was done in case of Assam. So these two are the major issues in the inner Manipur scene.
Okay, understood. Shantanu, what kind of a turnout do you think there will be for the elections this time in Manipur?
You see, if you look at last election, the 2019 election, the Manipur turnout was over 82%. The national average is 67. Manipur's was 82 plus. But this time what happened, even if there is no boycott as such, but many people will not go and vote. So this the turnout is bound to come down.
What do you think lies ahead after the elections? Will it just be the same or will things change?
We very often say that, you know, time is a healer. You know, time heals wound, right? But in this case, if you allow the time to be stressed, then what will happen? The time will rather fester the wound. So that's what is the main problem today Manipur is witnessing.
Bikash traveled through Manipur to get us some voices from the ground.
Manipur is going to a new direction. Elections are not quite suitable for us.
जब से यहाँ पे दंगा हुआ है तब से हमारा बिजनेस पूरा डाउन हो गया है 100% था पहले अब तो 20% तक हो गया पहले भी इलेक्शन होके हम लोग ने एक लीडर चुना उससे भी शांति नहीं हुआ ये भी एक लीडर आएगा उसे क्या उम्मीद रख सकता है क्या करेगा हमें क्या पता
From here, we take you south of the Vindhyas to Diya Rekhi, who traveled in Tamil Nadu. The 39 constituencies of this southern state will vote on Friday. The politics here has been dominated by the two Dravidian parties, DMK and AIADMK. But this is the first time that Tamil Nadu is witnessing a triangular fight since 2014, with BJP adding the third angle. The DMK-led alliance had swept Tamil Nadu in 2019, cornering 38 of 39 seats. It is unlikely to hold on to such a big tally. In the run-up to the elections, BJP stirred the political pot by adding the issue of Kachativu. State Unit Chief K. Annamalai got documents under Right to Information Act, which showed that the Indian government gave away the island to Sri Lanka. So, Diya, tell us where all you traveled in Tamil Nadu and how's the mood?
Hi, Nidhi. Thank you for having me. So, Nidhi, actually, I've had this crazy coincidence because I've gone from Chennai, which is where I stay, to four other constituencies. And all four of them have a three-cornered fight between the AIADMK and the DMK, along with the BJP. From the three Chennai constituencies, two of them, Chennai North and Chennai South, have a three-cornered fight. But when I drove down to Kotagiri near Ooty, there is another high-profile fight there between A. Raja of the DMK as well as L. Murugan of the BJP as well as Lokesh Tamil Selvan of the AIADMK. So A. Raja is the incumbent. But this time around, it seems like he's going to have a bit of an uphill task. Because of the BJP, interestingly, through this election, just as much as the BJP is sort of talking about how they want to make inroads into TN, and that's extremely obvious through this really aggressive push and drive where the Prime Minister has been visiting multiple times, the DMK and the AIADMK, who generally don't see eye to eye on anything, are suddenly coming together very quickly and coming out with these statements saying the BJP is a non-entity and will not be a factor at all in these elections. It seems like they're clear that it's better one of them win than the BJP wins. But coming to what I saw on the ground, I just noticed this deep sense of loyalty, which is something that you would hear in this clip where I spoke to this auto driver from Kotagiri called TK Suresh, who was just so firm about his love and loyalty for the DMK and how much A. Raja or Rasa, as he's fondly called, has done for the entire sort of region.
The benefits of the CM schemes are correctly reaching the people that they have to. In our area, they have put a footpath, drainage, pipelines for water. If the BJP says the DMK has not done anything, they have made a full list of everything they have done and given everyone. They have done so much, there is 100% no chance for the BJP to come to power.
BJP has not aligned with any Dravidian party this time. So how do you see this move?
I think that the BJP has taken a pretty bold step not aligning with the AIADMK. I feel like Coimbatore is a constituency where they definitely have a chance because they sort of have their star candidate, which is Annamalai, who's also the BJP state chief, contesting out of there. And there's been this huge push towards getting Annamalai to be the face of this resistance to the Dravidian parties and being this quote-unquote young leader who's truly young and who's an IIM graduate. And this IIM tag, by the way, is really important. Well known in terms of the two alternatives, but just giving people the choice to make a new face lead the state.
So I'm thinking of voting for the BJP because of Annamalai. So we think, we young people think like, and also we have friends, so we have thought that Annamalai is doing very good things. He hasn't been a very much educated person. He knows about education. He has studied in IIM. So we think that BJP is good for us because they can understand our youth people's needs very much well than rather than the other politics.
Even the AIADMK's Ramachandran is from IIM. But it feels like his tag really hasn't stuck as much as Annamalai's, I'm saying. But I don't think that really matters as much to people like S. Bhaskaran, who are voting for the two-leaf symbol only because they feel like it could help curb crime and drug use in Coimbatore.
If you see today, drugs and crime have gone up since the DMK has come to power. I'll vote for the AIADMK. Small children from school are consuming drugs. Murders, killings, and crime have all gone up. It is not like it was before.
What are the main election issues there?
The dynastic politics is something that's being raked up quite a bit by the BJP especially. So people feel like we want someone who isn't from like a nepotistic sort of background or someone who's from a family-led sort of organizational setup. There's also this whole issue around Sanatan Dharma, which was made into a huge issue last year where, you know, DMK leaders have gone out and said things like Sanatan Dharma is, they've likened it to a disease, basically. And that became a huge talk point. And it was also this flashpoint for the BJP that they've really milked to their advantage, calling the DMK anti-Hindu and so on. Then there's also the whole Kachativu matter, which is something that the Prime Minister himself brought up, saying that, you know, the DMK and the Congress callously ceded the island to Sri Lanka and how they don't have the best interests of the Tamil fishermen in mind. But that's the thing, you know, Nidhi, not everyone in Kotagiri is happy with the DMK's work. Some really feel that A. Raja hasn't fulfilled his electoral promises. And then there are those on the other side of the spectrum. You know, people like S. Balaji, who just felt that the DMK's controversial stance on Sanatan Dharma, where they called it like a disease, was repulsive and something that he believed was deeply hurtful to his religious sentiments.
I'm going to vote for the BJP because Rasa has not done anything and he has said very derogatory things about Hindus. It really hurt our feelings and was very wrong. He said he would do all kind of things but did nothing. For a change, I'm giving L. Murugan a chance.
So while the DMK certainly has its stronghold very much in place in Kotagiri, I feel the BJP's move to categorize the DMK as being anti-Hindu is working.
As we can see, Tamil Nadu promises to be an exciting contest. Hope you enjoyed Polls on the Pod. Tomorrow, we'll tell you about interesting contests in Madhya Pradesh, and from Rajasthan, we will bring you a constituency where it is not the official candidate who's being talked about, but an age-old rivalry between two clans that is shaping the contest. Then, the big interview from the hottest seat in the desert state. Also, what is the biggest fear of political parties in Rajasthan? No, not poll violations, not a defeat, but something else. We will tell you tomorrow. This is all for today. I'm your host, Nidhi Sharma, signing off. This episode was brought to you by sound designer Indraneel Bhattacharji and producers Vinayak Agarwal and Surohini Jain. Executive producers Anirban Chaudhary and Arijit Barman. Thank you for listening. And if you like this episode, do spread the word. All new episodes of the Morning Brief podcast drop every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. It streams on Amazon Prime Music, JioSaavn, Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts. And of course, ET's own audio platform, ET Play. Have a great week ahead. All clips used in this episode belong to their respective owners. Credits mentioned in the description.